welcome to Haunt Weekly.
Everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we're back once again. Happy Monday to all of you. And we are back today to discuss a fun, wacky, wild topic. What are we doing? Rules.
Yeah.
Crap. Whose idea was this again?
Yeah. Ours from long, long ago.
Yes, it was, actually.
We went into the list
where we had all of the various topics we wanted to cover at some point and realized we'd missed a few.
Yeah.
So we're going back and hitting some of the ones we had, like I said, years ago, back before episode one when we were starting this crazy adventure known as a podcast. We had, like I said, filled several pages up in a Google Doc.
Yeah.
We've done most of them. And then we stopped adding to it because this new stuff kept coming up. And
right.
We just kept doing it kind of catch as catch can. But we realized we missed a few, and this is one of the ones I'm surprised we didn't do. So we're going to talk about haunted attraction rules today. And this is a good one for us, I think.
Yeah.
Because not only do we have lots of experience in drafting these rules,
right,
and posting these rules, and enforcing these rules, we have a lot of experience as customers in being under these rules.
Exactly.
And the impact they have on customer experience. So we come at it from both ways.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're by rule-yel.
Yeah, don't use that.
Doesn't make any sense either.
Nope.
Doesn't even make any sense.
No.
All right.
We just have both perspectives.
Yes, we do. Fair enough. But anyways, real fast, do take a moment. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're Haunt Weekly at both. Take a minute also to check out our website, hauntweekly.com. And tinyurl.com/hauntweekly will whisk you away to our YouTube channel where all the past episodes are available for easy listening. Like easy listening. It's like Kenny G. It's easy listening.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way it works.
Isn't that the way it works?
No.
I tried. All right, but anyways, first, as usual, conference reminders. You're the oddball.
Yep.
Why don't you start us off?
Okay. This weekend, June 22nd through the 23rd, it is Premier Haunted Attractions Tour and Education Series in Ulster Park, New York at the Super 8 Kingston, touring all 7 attractions of the Headless Horseman. You can find out more at premierhaunttour.com.
The 2 T's there. And I do like the way they have this structure. Right? There's an A group that does the tour. Then the B group stays behind and does education stuff.
Right.
And then the next day, the B group goes and do the tour. And the A group stays behind.
Yeah, so you can get to do everything.
You get to do everything. And that's so smart.
It is. And it's so rare.
In this industry, yes, yes it is. Moving right along to the Southeast Halloween Enthusiast Convention, the SAHEC, if you will, in Ocala, Florida, July 14th and the 15th at 2300 Southwest 17th Road. Be featuring a ghost walk tour and a costume ball. Learn all the details at SEHEC.com. Once again, SAHEC.com.
All right, July 27th through the 29th, it's Room Escape Conference and Tour in Nashville, Tennessee at the Music City Center, touring up to 8 different escape rooms, but there's 2 tours of 4.
Once again, splitting up at this time where you don't get to do everything.
Exactly. So, includes Extreme Escape Games, Live Mind Adventure Games, Escape Point, and Locked Murfreesboro. RoomEscapeShow.com for more info.
Yes, yes, yes. Sounds exciting. Then July 28th and the 29th in Long Beach, California. It's Midsummer Scream at the Long Beach Convention Center. We'll feature dozens of on-site haunted attractions, including the largest Hall of Shadows in their history. 60,000 square feet of haunted houses assembled by building tiny haunted houses with different attractions.
Yeah.
Dude!
Sounds awesome.
I want to go. But anyways, they also have a Screaming Room Film Festival. Learn more at midsummerscream.org.
Okay, July 30th, Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium 2018 in Long Beach, California at the Queen Mary Hotel. It's by the Haunted Attractions Network, Gantam Media. Six keynotes following discussion with discussions, hauntedattractionnetwork.com. If you didn't notice, this is the day after Midsummer Scream. Yes. So if you're there, check them both out.
Yes, indeed. Also in Los Angeles, though, but not immediately, or also in California, I should say. This is right. Los Angeles, not Long Beach. August 5th through 6th, it's Scare LA at the Los Angeles Convention Center West Halls, featuring Scarywood, 60,000 square feet of mini halls. Okay, I had my attractions backwards. The other one is not 60,000 square feet, but it is the concept of the Hall of Shadows.
Yeah.
So they're both doing the Hall of Shadows type thing. I couldn't remember which one was 60,000 square feet, though. Also features Float, an It-themed cinematic VR experience, a film festival, and a costume ball. ScareLA.com for more.
All right, August 16th through the 19th, it's Halloween and Haunt Fest in Mesquite, Texas, which is near Dallas. It's at the Mesquite Convention Center, features a Haunters Mixer and Zombie Paintball Hunt, a costume ball, and a movie night, and they'll also be touring the Monsters Mansion.
Yes.
More information as it becomes available at HalloweenandHaunt.com.
Finally this week, Mask Fest is in Indianapolis, Indiana, August 24th through 26th at the JW Marriott Indianapolis. Features mask makers and makeup artists of all types, including Tom Savini. Yes. So learn more at maskfest.com. All right, so that brings us to today's main attraction, if you will. Haunt Worlds, I hear you tuning out already. I hear you switching off. Don't. Stick with us. I think this is actually going to be interesting and potentially very useful. Because here's the thing. Haunt rules are extremely important.
Yes.
I don't think there's much denying that.
No.
And the reason they're important is because they keep customers, actors, and the haunt safe.
Yes.
And that cannot be overstated.
Right. It reduces your liability.
Yes, it does. And that is a very, very important thing. But they do so much good for both haunts and their customers that they often get so little thought or attention.
Right. It's just like, oh yeah, we need some rules. Here they are.
Yeah, here they are. We'll just copy what so and so did down the road. We'll just borrow their template and throw it up. It's,
yeah.
You see that all the time, and it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
In fact, the little thing, the original idea for this,
mm-hmm.
when we first came up with it, was we were going to get all of the haunt rules we could on the internet.
Yep.
And we were going to organize it by which rules were the most common, which ones were kind of weird and wacky.
Yeah,
we were going to do statistics, a survey, if you will.
Yeah.
There weren't enough online to do the survey.
No.
We both looked. I found maybe about a dozen, honestly. Yeah. And only a couple of them. I think the only major one, this is using Google Image Search and Google Search, only major one I found was Linton Brewery.
Yeah. I went to a couple of the top list. These are the top haunts in the country. Yeah. We know our opinion on those. But they're a good place to start for this kind of research, and most of the ones on the list did not have obvious rules.
Yeah, we tried from different approaches. We just could not find a large enough collection to do any statistics.
Yeah.
So we're going to take what little data we do have and present it in this format instead. But yeah, it's interesting how little thought and attention this gets.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're spending an hour on it, hopefully to get you to think harder about your rules, what's in them, what you maybe want to think about including, what maybe you should pull out of it because it's stupid and doesn't need to be said.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Haunt, that said no line cutting because, duh, no line cutting. We live in a society, Haunt. We don't.
Well, but
then again, they probably added it because they had an active problem with it.
Exactly.
Which is, of course.
And you are going to have active problems with your haunt that other people aren't going to have.
Exactly. Especially depending on the age, the clientele you have, and when you're open.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, if someone shows up there and gets the ticket and stands in line and the friends come later, right, as you're about to go in, then that's a form of line cutting.
Yes, it is. All right, so the way we're going to break this down, just to give you a heads up where the show's going, we're going to talk about the obvious rules.
Yeah.
The ones that are pretty much in every collection.
Dope.
Yeah, basically, if you don't have these, you're missing out. You miss something. Then we're going to talk about the medical rules.
Right.
This is kind of treating that as a separate subset for reasons we'll get into in a minute. Then there are the rules we'd like to see included more often. Mm-hmm. Saw them in a few. did not see them consistently displayed. I think these are important ones. And then we have some controversial rules. Ooh! Rules that are probably stupid and should not be put on your sign. Should not be part of your haunt.
But we still want to talk about them.
Still want to talk about them. And then we're going to just talk about where to post them and blah, blah, blah. Make them maximum enforceable.
Yeah.
All right. You ready? So, the obvious rules. The first one, the one every haunt has very prominently, usually in all caps in my experience.
Yeah.
You can say it with me if you want.
No running.
Just, yeah. No running. That is literally everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It is the rule primo uno most places.
It's usually right at the top.
Yep. And it's very, very interesting just how strongly that rule is displayed. It's kind of weird if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, yeah, it is a very, very important rule. The fact it's almost always number one, and it's number one on our list, I can't say anything. It's kind of weird. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
But anyways, and I think the reason it happened is because it's not only the most common rule, but also the most commonly broken rule by customers.
Right.
I mean, and
well, and that goes back to the fight or flight, because if you're flighting, then you're running. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. You can't really knock on your customers for responding in the natural way.
Yeah.
Which we'll get more of that in a minute. But, so yeah, they're going to run at least short distances. Now, obviously, this is not just about people that, like, get scared and, like, run out of a room and maybe go around a corner and stop. We have seen, and I know, we've seen both in other people's haunts and in our own, these people that will literally just run through the whole damn haunt.
They're not seeing anything.
They're not seeing anything. They're a danger to everyone.
They just want to be able to say that they got through.
Yeah, they're trying out for track and field or cross country. I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are a danger. And yeah, I think that's who this rule is more targeted at.
Yeah.
But it's also an issue about, you know, cause for customers, running is probably the most dangerous thing you can do.
Yes. The only injury we've had is because someone ran.
Was running. Running. And we've had, in fact, nearly all of the scares we've had involved running. I think all of them, actually.
Yeah.
Minus maybe one, involved running. And it's like, yeah, if you didn't run, you wouldn't have been hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, because not only does it lead to you crashing into things, it leads to broken ankles, it leads to slips and falls, it leads to a bunch of problems.
Right.
So basically, running is dangerous, and that's why it's an important rule to include and why it is pretty much on every list and pretty much always at the top.
Yep.
So yeah. The next one we're going to talk about is no smoking, but also under this subhead is food and drink, too.
Right.
Now, the no smoking one is pretty obvious. Open flames are dangerous and hot.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, we've all done our burn books.
Yeah.
We've all gone through and fireproofed everything.
Yeah.
We're not idiots. Okay, right. This stuff is as flame retardant as it gets.
Yeah.
But human faces and skin are not flame retardant.
Right.
No, at least not burn resistant, at the very least. You know, you can get burned and things can still catch fire. Flame retardant only retards flames.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop it.
Stop it from starting.
It slows it down.
Yeah.
A significant amount, don't get me wrong. 60 seconds with an open flame is pretty badass, but it can still start.
Yeah.
So, smoking, bad.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And that's for your actors as well as your customers.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So.
That's for everyone involved. And with food and drink, got choking hazards come into play here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're eating something or chewing gum and you swallow it at the wrong time and you get scared, it could be a problem.
Yeah.
And also with smoking in particular, it's just annoying. I'm sorry to smokers. I know many haunters, like a higher percentage of haunters who smoke, but smoking, especially in a confined space, the smell lingers. And
it does.
Most smokers I know are very conscientious and don't do that.
Yeah.
They're very good about it, but the rule's there because some smokers aren't.
Right.
That simple. I would also say that this rule should be updated to include vaping. Even if vaping is nothing but sweet-smelling water vapor and whatever, it's still dangerous to have a metal pipe, you know, inches away from your face while being scared and things are coming at you.
Yeah.
Still not a good idea.
Right. You don't want to have anything in your mouth that could be, like, choked on.
Yeah, the first time we hear about some dude losing his four front teeth because a vape got knocked down his throat and on an attraction. No. Maybe they'll take this a little more seriously. Also, a lot of these rule sets have been singling out alcohol and drugs specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs, I think, should go without saying, but it's understandable if there's an issue at the haunt.
Right.
And alcohol, of course, is pretty smart, too, even though any food or drink, what you would think, would encompass alcohol.
Yeah, but sometimes people make a distinction between their drinks and their drinks.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's a point. But yeah, that's what I've been seeing there. Okay, up next, another obvious one that seems to go everywhere, no touching actors or stuff in the haunt.
Yeah.
No touching people or things.
Exactly. Don't touch our stuff.
Yeah, basically, if you're an actor, the most dangerous thing is being pushed, shoved, punched.
Yeah.
Otherwise, contacted. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens, and this is the rule designed to prevent that. That tries to prevent that. And also, related to that, most damage to a haunt comes from customers knocking things or pushing things or touching things they shouldn't be touching.
Right.
Many will also, when they talk about this, include whether or not the haunt is a contact haunt or not.
Right.
Which I think is a very good thing to do.
It is good because we have been surprised once by a contact haunt.
Good phrasing for this rule that I've seen multiple times, I think it's the way we do it too, is don't touch us and we won't touch you.
Yeah.
Just keep it that simple. We don't touch you if you don't touch us.
Yes.
If you touch us, we touch you to escort you to hell out.
Now, if you are a contact haunt, you would want to say something like, we can touch you, but you can't touch
us. Yeah, you've got to, strip club rules type thing.
Yeah.
You know, you got to deal with that. You have to word that the way you want. I think it's a very, very important rule to include, and it's very important to make it clear what the relationship between customer and actor is.
Right, and I would also include the other thing that we've seen a lot, accidental touching may occur.
Oh, yes.
Because it will. It happens.
And when dealing with the touching of stuff, there's one very unique problem that a lot of haunts run into, which is they don't touch our stuff. Touch our stuff. And then they hang stuff in the walkway.
Right.
That you have to nudge around. And how do you convey that? Because especially if you go, which we're going to talk about this later, go a little hard and heavy with the threats.
Yeah.
Where it's like, don't touch our stuff, we'll take you to jail.
Yeah.
People aren't going to want to touch the stuff that they're supposed to touch.
Right.
So finding a way to delineate between those two may be important, depending upon how your haunt operates. Like I said, this is a rule that may not prevent touching. It may not prevent, people from getting punched or anything like that. But it gives you the ability to, without controversy, eject those who do.
Right. And that's both customers and actors.
Exactly. All right. No weapons, firearms, or otherwise. Most rules I read just said no weapons. They didn't specify the type, but obviously that would include firearms, knives.
Right.
Pepper
spray.
Sticks.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Bananas.
Oranges. Oh, man. The Monty Python fans are laughing right now. Everyone else is totally lost on what just happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one seems pretty obvious. Weapons plus fear equals death and injury.
Yep.
You don't need me to explain that.
No.
We have been to haunts that have begun using either metal detectors or pat-downs for this.
Yeah. I'd prefer a metal detector to a pat-down.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. Or even a wanding over,
Yeah. I when I see a metal detector anywhere in general, that's not like a government building or something or an airport where you expect it. When I see a metal detector in a place I don't expect it, I immediately think that place is dangerous.
Me too.
And not in the, oh, it's so scary and haunted dangerous. Oh, there are some terrible people here.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Yeah. The other customers may try to kill me.
Yeah. Screw these actors. It's apparently the other customers who are dangerous.
Exactly.
Here. I mean, and it's like there's a, and a good example just to get away from the haunt, there's a club that you'll be going to this weekend for a wrestling match. That does pat downs on the way in.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem there. I've been there dozens of times. They only started the pat-down thing fairly recently in my experience. Never had a problem. Never felt unsafe there. But now I do.
Yeah.
And I don't go as much.
Yeah.
Because the overhead and the fear. So, yeah, the fact that going this weekend will be the first time we went there in 6 months.
Longer. To a year.
Yeah, almost a year. Probably almost a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just something to think about when you're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next rule is no video or photography and no lights. This one kind of gets tied together these days.
It does.
And the reason is because most video, most photography, and most flashlights are the same device, your cell phone.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. Flashes, including flashlights, blind. And also, you want to keep the internal part of your haunt secret. We did a whole episode about keeping secrets previously.
We did.
I don't remember the episode number off the top of my head. I should have put it in the damn notes. That's what a smart person would have done.
Yeah, I remember thinking that we should mention episode 5, but I don't remember why.
So you got an episode number, not a reason.
Yeah.
I've got a reason and no episode number. We're just a bundle of skill and togetherness today, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Good go, team. But beyond, you know, the issue of blinding and keeping secrets, it's dangerous. Because if you're looking through your phone, if you're taking photos, you're not paying attention to your surroundings.
Right.
You can get scared, you can get injured, and most likely, you can break a $700 to $1,000 phone.
Right.
Because haunts typically have concrete floors.
Yes, they typically do.
And concrete floors win the fight against cell phones very consistently.
Yes.
This fight has been held hundreds, if not, you know, hundreds of thousands of times, and I think the concrete floor has a perfect record. I don't think a phone has ever chipped. Maybe one of those Nokia phones
will
chip the concrete floor, but I don't think any phone has chipped concrete and walked away from it.
No, not really.
So, yeah. Just be mindful of that, and yeah, it's a good rule to include. It makes sense. And did you find the episode?
No.
Okay, never mind.
I gave up so I could keep talking.
Fair enough. Okay, next rule. A notification. This one's less of a rule and more of a notification, as is the next one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Security cameras and filming is in use.
Yeah.
Obviously, you are using security cameras and filming.
Yes.
Right?
You should be.
Okay, so this rule, this notification lets them know that they are being recorded.
Right.
And you can also, in some cases, haunts will say, hey, we may put these on YouTube, we may use these, you know. But basically, this is a rule to discourage bad behavior. It says, we're watching. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've noticed that I think is smart that a lot of haunts have done is, while they might go to great lengths to hide their security cameras in the bulk of their haunt,
right,
the very first security camera is very visible.
Yeah.
You round that corner, it's right there staring at you.
Yeah.
And that's good, because that lets people know there are security cameras. Even if you can't see them later, there are security cameras.
Yeah, they're outside the building. They're at your ticket booth.
They are everywhere. You make their presence felt. Mm-hmm. This also notifies people that this is not a private place, and this gets into privacy law.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reasonable expectation of privacy in a haunt. Anything you can and do will be held against you by the security cameras.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little notification of that. You know what I mean? And that's perfectly reasonable. And the final notification. This one was actually the only rule that was on 100% of the images I looked at for the haunt rules. So technically, this is the most popular rule, even if it's not a rule.
Yeah.
This really isn't an instruction to the guests.
Right.
It's a notification. It's no refunds.
No.
I swear to God. Batting 1,000 on this one. Went through the entire image collection I got. Batting 1,000, all said no refunds.
Yeah. Because I have heard cases of people getting too scared and not able to finish, and then they want a refund.
Yes.
Because you did exactly what they asked you to do. Which, that's different from, oh, I bought tickets early and some family emergency came up. Can I get a refund or change the date or something?
Or a situation we're going to be talking about in a minute where someone buys a ticket online, drives out to the haunt, and finds out with the rules, oh, they can't go.
Yeah.
So. That's frustrating.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is a rule that is at a lot of haunts. I'm not going to say all, but at a lot of haunts is fairly commonly broken.
Yeah.
Refunds are given.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is because whatever the ticket price is not worth the screaming, yelling, trouble-causing customer.
Yeah. Yeah, I...
It's a squeaky wheel moment.
It is. Especially if you close the haunt on a night you're supposed to be open.
Yeah, oh, God.
You should definitely give refunds.
Yeah, there are definitely reasons you should give refunds without question. There are reasons you should not give refunds, like your situation where someone got halfway through and got too scared and was angry they only got half the show.
Yeah.
And they asked to leave. But even in situations where you shouldn't give refunds, sometimes it's just easier to give the refund and get out of the situation.
It is.
And I hate that, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a practical reality, and it's life. You know what I mean? It's ugliness. It's life. But yeah, those are the common rules we saw in that were pretty much on everything.
Right.
And in our experience, are present at pretty much all haunts too. Now, here are the medical rules, sort of the warnings here. No medical condition. God, this one is always phrased so awkwardly.
Yeah.
We've got to come up with a better way to say this one.
We do. Though.
Because literally, when I wrote in the show notes, no medical conditions. Because that's how it's actually phrased.
Yeah.
How's it phrased on our rules? The same damn way.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got there, but...
Well, we did that banner. That banner hasn't been replaced since we opened.
Yeah, I think it's literally a 12-year-old banner now.
Yeah, so we probably do need to look at it.
We opened at this location.
Exactly.
We didn't have it the first year, but I think we've had it every year
since
after.
Since 2007.
Yeah, we probably need to work on updating it.
Yeah, well, that's why we're talking about it.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it this summer.
Maybe.
But yeah, no medical conditions. Heart, respiratory conditions, or pregnancy, etc. The thing is, even when you spell out some examples, it can be difficult to know what constitutes a condition that shouldn't go into a haunt.
Right.
Like one, I can't remember who it was. I'll have to go through my images. But they actually went through and named 20 conditions.
Wow.
Shouldn't go in with. It was like, you shouldn't go in with like high blood pressure, bad acne, a cleft foot.
Yeah.
You know, it was they really were specific.
Yeah.
I have no idea why I came up with those, okay?
I don't know.
You're looking at me like I'm an idiot. But it's like,
it was interesting choices.
They're like high blood pressure, low blood pressure, you know, mental illness.
Was it in like tiny print?
Yes,
like,
it was in the commercials
for drugs.
It felt like they were listing the side effects of some hair loss treatment or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it can be very difficult to know what constitutes a condition, even if you do that.
Yeah.
And people are often unaware of their conditions.
Right.
John Ritter famously died of a heart condition that he didn't know he had.
Yeah.
I am being treated now for high blood pressure, despite, you know, running all these miles and working out five times a week and eating relatively well and all this stuff. I'm being treated high blood pressure. I was completely asymptomatic.
Yeah.
No headaches, no dizziness, nothing. Completely asymptomatic. Blood pressure that apparently wasn't too good for me.
Yeah.
So, being treated. I'm better now. Much better now. But responding well, which is the first time anyone's ever said I respond well to anything.
Also would put on the... I also saw pacemakers on an FAQ page. Not a rules page, but an FAQ page.
Yeah, it should be on the rules, too.
Yeah. Well, they're like, can I come through if I have a pacemaker? And
really?
They're like, we have a Tesla coil, so probably not. I think I just lost Jonathan.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. This is one of those episodes. All right. I swear, we have not been drinking.
No.
Not this time. Some of the episodes, yes. This one, no.
No.
And in a similar vein to this is the physical limitations.
Right.
They'll say, basically, these deal with more mobility.
Yeah.
Don't go through if you have a cast or need crutches or canes.
Right.
And so on and so forth. And, or I guess a pronounced limp or whatever.
Yeah. Well, this is different from, you know, being accessible to handicap.
Yeah. And what we do is because we build ADA.
Yeah.
What we do is if someone shows up with a cast or a crutch or a cane or something like that, we kindly set the cane over by the exit and we put him in a wheelchair and push him through.
Yep.
Because the wheelchair is perfectly fine.
Exactly.
They're not
going
to fall over in the wheelchair.
So if you got an extra wheelchair laying around.
Yeah, my advice is, this is an issue for you. Just have a spare wheelchair waiting on them.
Nope.
And every year it happens once.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I don't know. Maybe it's the same dude with the same broken leg. Maybe it's just one unlucky bastard who keeps breaking his leg every October.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
Poor guys.
I know.
But yeah, but basically someone, usually with a broken leg, comes up or broken foot, comes up and like, hey, can I go through? I'm on crutches. I'm like, yes, you can, but you're sitting down for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Here. You. And if he, and one time they came alone.
Yeah.
The person was in a group by themselves. And I'm like, you know, and I nominated, there was like two people in a group behind them. I just nominated them to push.
Yeah.
Hey, we can take groups of four. That's three.
Yep.
Exactly. It works. All right. After that, cautions about sensitivity issues such as strobe, noise, smoke. These, like I said, if you're sensitive to these things, whether it's epileptic or respiratory issues,
vertigo.
Or vertigo issues, or like hearing issues, they notify about that. That's
right.
Pretty consistently present.
Yeah.
Phobia warnings, claustrophobia, you know, fear of tight spaces, and nyctophobia, which is the fear of the dark.
Right, which if you're going to a haunt...
You'd think.
You would.
You would think that people would know a haunted house isn't sunshine, puppies, and rainbows.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know. You still got to have that warning there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the trigger warnings, which I didn't see this very often, honestly.
No.
Some people kind of included it with the phobia warnings.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a new thing that's being talked about in the past couple of years. And like we said, our banner is old.
No,
I'm sure lots of other people's are too.
Yes. And also, in the same vein as age appropriateness. Things
yeah.
like, you know, the violence and sex content. A lot of people like to use, some haunts like to use, like, movie-style ratings, which you can't actually do because they're trademarked by the MPAA. Just watch yourselves with this.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can say not recommended for people under age of 13 is a common one, for example.
Yeah.
Rules we'd like to see more of. Okay, this is I think, where we're getting to the meat of this. Because after analyzing the unfortunately small number of rule sets we could...
Yes.
One I only saw once or twice was footwear warnings.
Yeah.
No high heels, no sandals, no, I don't know, no
flip
Crocs.
Flops.
And
Crocs, flip-flops.
Well, that kind of bullcrap. None of that.
Some Crocs would be okay in a haunt.
Now, they're very, very common at trail haunts. Not in real life.
Yeah.
Oh, God. One of those episodes, man. All right. Yeah, they're very common at trail haunts, and this is something I'd actually noticed when we were going around doing the Atlanta trip last year.
Right.
It seemed like every trail or outdoor haunt we did visited
right.
had some kind of footwear warning.
Yeah.
Wear proper sneakers or boots or whatever, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it should be in every haunt, because I don't care if your floor is the flattest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
People getting scared, turning around quickly, maybe running or jumping or something,
yeah.
doesn't go well in high heels.
No, that's how you get broken ankles.
Broken ankles, broken noses when your face hits the ground.
Yeah.
I think we should have warnings. I think we should require people to wear proper footwear.
Yeah.
And it always amazes me. I mean, every stinking year we have people show up in high heels.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I think that we should start, like, collecting shoes from, like, Goodwill or something and spray them with Lysol and put them out there.
Like okay. bowling shoes? Like, do the bowling
exactly.
shoe
Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
You look like a size 5.
Obviously, you didn't know what you were getting into. Take off those shoes. What size are you?
Exactly. Maybe. But then here's the thing. I mean, I know we're home haunt, but most of our audience, especially on Halloween night,
uh-huh.
are trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
Who the hell takes their kid trick-or-treating in 4-inch heels? What mad woman does that?
Yeah.
I don't believe some people, man.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But yeah, I think footwear warnings should be much more common than they are.
Yeah, and these are the small heels that you're talking about, not the wedges.
Yeah, we're talking like tiny pointy heels.
Yes. Easy to fall over.
Yeah, I don't... How?
I don't know.
Next up would be Safe Words. Now, we actually got this one right 12 years ago when we kept it up. We win one. Yeah, because we're basically over the century on a lot of this stuff, and we've been thinking about it now. It's one of the reasons why we wanted to continue the conversation on the podcast.
Yeah.
But Safe Words, a way to ask to be let out.
Right.
If someone is too scared, they are not going to feel comfortable going up to an actor in makeup and saying, hey, I'm too scared, I need to be let out.
Yeah.
There needs to be some kind of safe word.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of way that they can indicate clearly they need to be shown to an exit.
Right.
Some people get too scared in haunts. It is dangerous to force them.
Right.
They might break down. They might fall. They might have other issues.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. Have a way for them to conveniently and comfortably tell people, I need to leave. I give up. I do not consent to being scared anymore.
Yeah.
It's only one of all the rules I analyzed had. And you care to guess which one it was?
No.
Lynn Brewery.
Oh. You did say that that was the only one you could find, really.
Or the major one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But Lynn Brewery had it.
Huh.
On the list I had, Lynn Brewery had it. You were supposed to say that the guy's name who owned it, something limp. You're supposed to say his name. I'd be very terrible remembering safe words, obviously.
Yeah.
So don't trust my judgment on this, but still.
Yeah, and there, make sure that all of your actors know the safe word. Mm-hmm. So that if any of them hear it, they can get the appropriate security guard or person to escort them out.
Yeah, and basically, you know, what do you do when you hear it?
Right.
What do you do? Do you take them to the emergency exit right by you?
Yeah.
And show them, point them the way out?
Yeah.
What do you as an actor do
right. When
you hear it?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah, because we've had issues with this. Mainly, though, it's one person going, I surrender. And their group has got them by the arms, dragging them as fast as they can through the rest of the hall. They go so fast, we can't get them out.
Yeah, we've had that a few times.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's a four-person group.
Yeah.
Three of them are determined to make it. One of them is determined to not go.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
All right. Another good idea that I've seen, and actually, I didn't think of this one until I saw it on a couple of the rules I was analyzing.
Mm-hmm.
No masks.
Yeah.
No masks. I like that one.
Yeah.
It's because it's dangerous. It's dangerous to go through a haunt with a mask on because you have no peripheral vision. You're already in a darkened place,
mm-hmm.
and there's going to be stuff coming at you from the sides.
Right.
Now, to be fair, not all haunts have issues with lots of customers trying to go on through masks, but
yeah.
if you're a home haunt in particular, you're going to have this issue.
Right.
And realistically, we have a lot of people show up with masks,
yeah.
but very few actually go through with a mask on.
Yeah.
Usually they hit the first room at the very least and take it off because it's too dark.
Yeah.
And then Halloween night is going to be the worst for this because everyone's trick-or-treating, everyone's going to parties, everyone's doing crap.
Right.
They're swinging by your haunt on the way to something else, on the way back from something else.
Right. They're going to be in costume just because it's Halloween.
Yeah. So, yeah, be mindful of that. Also, I agree with the zombie toxin haunt on this one. They were the ones that had it clearly spelled out, no prop weapons.
Yeah.
Because prop weapons can become real weapons in a hurry.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's something to think about.
Thinking of the little girl who had her pumpkin pail. I
was
like,
that was adorable, and that was one of the times we didn't scare. We did the kiddie version of it where we don't actively scare. And she had her pumpkin pail with her because we weren't scaring. So, and her mom was actually carrying her.
Yeah.
She was just sightseeing, basically, at this point. It's not really a haunt. It's more of a walk.
Yeah.
And every time a monster would, like, peer at her, she'd, like, hold the pumpkin pail. And she's going to hit him with that pumpkin pail.
I see you. I'm going to hit you with my pumpkin.
Either that or I think she might have been begging for candy in hindsight.
No, she had threatened to hit people.
Enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
She's like three or four.
Okay. And the final good idea for right now,
yeah.
intoxication warnings.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing that I found very interesting. And the ones I looked at, all of them, or almost all of them, mention no alcohol or no drugs or no, you know, at least bundled it with the no food stuff, right? But none said you can't go through altered.
Right.
Yeah, that seemed a weird omission to me.
It does, because... and we've come across this, because we are in New Orleans, where we have had to turn people away because they were just too intoxicated to come in.
Well, the worst and the most frustrating ones are the people... Okay, you know, you're not going to turn away everyone who's had a beer.
No.
That's just stupid. You're in New Orleans.
Yeah.
There goes your entire audience.
Yeah.
In one swoop. But no. So what would happen was we had a few people who were in line.
Yeah.
Were perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. They were functioning. They were chatting. They were hanging out. They were, doing the thing. And it was all going great. But the minute they get in the door, suddenly become Drunky McDrunkenstein.
Yeah.
And it goes to hell. That's, I mean, it's like, and remember, we had one case where both me and the other front of house actors were like, he was perfectly fine out there. We're all looking very confused. Well, he had to be kicked out of the hall and he was too drunk. I'm like,
yeah.
But yes, being altered in a haunt is obviously dangerous.
Yes.
Drugs, being on drugs, being high, being drunk, obviously isn't going to be good.
Yeah, it's the whole, where were you when the drugs kicked in?
Exactly.
You might be right in front of a monster and decide to hit it.
Or you might be completely incapable of keeping your feet.
Yes.
And crashing into random crap.
Yes, falling down, hurting yourself, hurting others.
And hurting our stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. That stuff may not be like the most expensive stuff in all of Hauntdom, but to us it was a big part of our budget, all right?
Yeah.
Anyways, controversial rules that we've seen. No cell phones on premise. We've actually been to a couple of haunts that have pulled this.
Yeah.
I did not see it on any of the rules I analyzed,
right,
but we've experienced this.
Yes.
And found this very frustrating. This is usually done to prevent phones from breaking. When you ask why, their first response is usually something like, well, we had a lady who had a phone break in her pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not going to bring phones into the haunt. And it's also to 100% guarantee that no one takes pictures or has lights or whatever.
Yeah.
The problem is, some people have to have their phones.
Yeah.
Ellie?
Yeah.
Cannot be separated from her phone.
Right.
She has a job where she is on 24/7 call, and unless you want your credit cards to stop working randomly, you want her to have her cell phone handy.
Yes, exactly.
Just trust me on this one. It's very crucial that she can be available at all times. So if we're going through a haunt, it's like a 30-minute haunt or whatever, and she gets a page or something early on, she would actually have to exit the haunt early, go to the car, set up her hotspot, and deal with it.
Yeah.
That's the nature of her job.
Yeah.
So some people have that. But more to the point, more commonly, it's inconvenient and risky to leave phones in cars and parking lots and street parking.
Right.
I mean,
and it's, especially if, you know, the customer doesn't know your area, or you have to park far away from where you go in, and if people know that this is something that people are going to be leaving in their car.
If I were the type of guy that steals cell phones and I was outside a haunt that did this, I would perch, I'd wait for someone to go, put their phones in their car, and leave. Now I know they're gone. 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever.
Hour.
Depending on how long the haunt is. They're gone for a bit. That's time to break into the car and steal them.
Yeah.
Just something to think about. And also, as you said, you added to the notes, customers don't feel comfortable giving their phones to staff. And that's the other thing we've seen is sometimes, just leave it with us.
Exactly. We'll keep it right here for you.
Yeah, that's not going to work for me.
No. You want me to hand over hundreds of dollars of valuable
the most valuable thing I keep on my person.
Exactly. For your safekeeping. Because you don't trust me to keep it safe.
Yeah.
And it opens you up for liability if something does happen to the phone while you're in possession of it.
Or even if nothing happens to it.
Yeah.
Because here's a scenario to think about. You've got a bank of phones somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Someone who went through your haunt the next day or a week later or whatever discovers that their phone had been hacked.
Yeah.
And the personal data and the personal images and all that stuff had been leaked.
Yeah.
And the only person who ever came in contact with that phone that wasn't them was you.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't do anything. It's not your fault he or she got hacked. But they're going to suspect you. And when the investigation comes around, you're going to be the first person they ask.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's definitely something to think about. And if that is one of your rules, be sure to plaster that everywhere.
Oh, God, yes. Every piece of marketing, every that's all of like, your website.
Yeah, that's like if you're a cash-only place. You put that stuff out there so that people don't drive however far it is to get to you.
You and then find that. Out yeah.
that they can't go in because they don't have cash.
Yeah. All right. Next controversial rule is firm minimum ages.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, we've seen haunts that like have recommended minimum ages.
Right.
But usually if the parent says, well, come on, let's go, and it's okay, he or she can handle it, they'll be fine, they're allowed to go in. It's the reason that they do haunts do this is obviously to prevent crying children. Oh, we scare kids. My God, does it suck when kids cry?
No.
It ruins the fun for everyone. It's just, it's horrible. Yeah. No one likes that.
Yes, whenever we redo our rules, that new rule is going on. Because yeah. we've been making a handmade sign. But, no crying kids allowed.
Yeah.
Because,
God.
I'm not putting up with it.
No, me either. And it's bad for everyone. It's just,
it is.
It's not good. The kids aren't having fun. I'm not having fun. The actors aren't having fun.
Nope.
No one's having fun. But here's the thing. Some kids do well in haunts. We've had two-year-olds
yep.
take our full haunt with a smile on their face.
Yeah.
And we've had 40-year-old men, big dudes, that seem like they should have nothing to fear in life.
Yeah.
Break down and start weeping.
Yeah.
What causes it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never solved this mystery, and I'm not calling Scooby-Doo. But yeah, so here's the thing. Focus instead of a firm minimum ages on informing parents as to what's in there. Let them decide. Offer that safe word we mentioned and give a quick exit to anyone that does get too upset.
Yep.
Yeah. Simple as that. All right. Waivers. We talked about this one previously. Some haunts require waivers. Don't. It's stupid. It doesn't work.
Yeah. It doesn't protect you.
Doesn't protect you. It's Exhibit A
mm-hmm.
rather than being something that actually shields you. Basically, it will not provide any protection not already done with the rule banner.
Right.
Or with the agreement on the ticket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, it can be used against you just as easily as it can help you. So stop it. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And it's just dumb.
Oh, but people think that it's scarier if they got to sign away their rights. Yeah. Well, you can't sign away your rights.
You can't, and that's just it. You can't waive your right to not be assaulted, for
yeah.
example. It doesn't happen.
Nope.
I mean, it's like the old joke about a boxing match. If two people consent to be in a boxing match, it's a boxing match. The minute one of them decides they don't want to box anymore, and the other person keeps hitting them, that's just assault.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if he signed up for a boxing match.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then there's the excessive threats.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, none of these were on the ones I sampled, but we have definitely been to haunts that have done this.
Yes, we have.
Basically, where it's the, if you break any of these rules, you'll go to jail.
Yeah.
We'll put you in hell's jail. We're gonna bury you under the jail.
Yeah. Well, see, if they said hell's jail or bury you under the jail, stuff like that, then I wouldn't take it as seriously as you will go to jail.
Especially when
there are cops standing around.
Yeah. Yeah, because here's the thing. This makes people more afraid of the rules and the staff
yeah.
than it does the haunt.
Yeah.
And I remember one place has happened to us, and that haunt is closed. It's reopening now.
Yeah.
And we're not even going to go into it.
No. Nope.
We found out what happens when you post a review that they don't like. They get pissy.
Yeah.
they are real pissy. but yeah, long and short of it is, they came there. They were one of the places that patted us down to make sure we didn't have any weapons on
and
us.
And they had a metal detector.
And they had a metal detector. They did both.
Yep.
Because reasons. And then basically they gave us a long speech about how if we touch their people or touch their property, we're going to jail.
Yep.
Yeah, now I'm terrified of going through your haunt, not because...
Yeah. In fact, at one part of it, there was a blackened maze.
Yeah.
And Ellie had somehow gotten into the front of the line and was not wanting to go forward to put her hands out because she didn't want to touch the walls.
Yeah.
So we were stuck for a couple of minutes trying to figure out how to get somebody else at the front.
And despite being stuck, it was still too short of a fucking haunt.
Yeah, but...
There's your F-bomb for the podcast, kids. PG-13 now.
No.
All right. So...
You just said don't use those.
I know. We're not very good at following our own advice, are we?
Sometimes no.
Oh, God. All right. Anyways, so we've got a few more minutes left. So where do you put the rules? The most obvious place is a banner near the ticket booth, one specifically that is visible before money changes hands.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, and this is, comes from looking at a lot of photos of these banners, at images of the banners on people's websites, and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Make them easy to read.
Please.
This is not the time to be screwing around with your fancy-ass fonts, your backgrounds, mm-hmm. blah, blah. This is a, fundamentally, treat this like a legal document.
Right.
Just, you know, I understand we want it like a black banner, but how about just a black banner with white text?
Yeah.
Have exactly. your pretty little logo at the top, and, you know, what? But don't mess with it so that people can't read it.
Mm-hmm.
One, a couple of the rules I could not analyze, they were unreadable, even when I zoomed in on them. And it wasn't, these were actual scans of their banner.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
No, because the fonts, they like on one of them in particular, it did like the stone background to make it look like it was on a cemetery or crypt or something.
Right.
With columns on either side. And then they used this horrible block font that mushed all the letters together, like, you know, the balloon letters you used to draw in elementary school.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. It was terrible. Just keep this so simple.
Yeah.
A nice, clean font. You know, Arial, Times New Roman, basic.
Yeah.
Be easy with this, man. Make it big, make it clear, make it obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't muck around, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why I have to explain that. But I do, obviously.
Yeah. And we have seen one place that reiterated the rules in a couple of places. One was near the ticket booth, and then you were shown into a room where a video played, and it went over the rules again.
Well, here, I'm going to make a controversial, not very controversial statement. Any reinforcement or any display of your rules after the ticket booth is a waste.
Okay.
Because by that point, they have already bought their ticket and they cannot decide to not go.
Yeah. That's true.
That's too late.
So if you're going to have the video or somebody tell it to you, you tell them
and
before they get to the tickets.
The only purpose of that would be to reinforce them.
Yep.
Or if you have a particular subset of those rules you really want to make sure they get. But yeah, it's too late. Think about this. If you get into that room and like the no running comes up and they go, well, hell, I can't not run. What do? You know?
Yeah.
I'm running McGee. I don't know any other way to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What happens to him now? I have a leg thing. I can only run, you know? I don't know how to walk.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone actually has that problem.
No.
But just think about it. They did. It would be terrible. Okay. But it would be a terrible condition. Okay. Put the rules on your site. And hey, okay. I'm raising my hand here. I'm owning this.
Yeah.
We did not do it.
Yeah.
We own that. We are going to fix that soon.
Yes.
Like I said, this is part of this conversation came out of us wanting to revamp our rules.
Yeah.
So we're fixing it. It was an idea that we had like way back when, but as we've been talking about it over this week, it's like, yeah, we need to revamp our rules.
Yeah.
So this is part of the exchange here. Yeah, very, 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 very few haunts seem to do this.
Yeah.
Guys, it doesn't cost anything.
No.
You can put it in a fairly out-of-the-way place. You know, obviously, you want to have your buy ticket button be huge and big and all that. And you don't have to make it front and center. But putting it in there, not in the FAQs. The FAQs are reserved for other questions.
Exactly.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Exactly. Rules are no running. FAQs is, can I bring, you know, my 3-year-old to your really scary haunt?
Do you take credit card?
Do you take credit? That's an FAQ.
Yeah. You know, where do I buy tickets? Are there discounts? Things like that. Those are FAQs.
Yeah.
your rules about, like, no running and all that, that's not in the FAQs.
No.
Just a stop.
No, it needs to be a separate link.
And it can be, like, in the hot info page.
Yeah. Or a link on the FAQs.
Yeah.
What are your rules for entering?
Yeah.
I saw one site that said, read this before you visit.
Yeah, not a bad way to do it.
No. It was kind of buried, but it was there.
At least there was an effort made.
Exactly.
An attempt was made.
Exactly.
That's good enough for me. But yeah, just put it somewhere on the website. It doesn't cost anything. We failed in this one. We're going to rectify that. And I hope that others will take our lead.
Yep.
And finally, on your marketing. Now, this is going to seem weird, but here's the thing. If you have anything that might prevent a customer from being able to actually go through your haunt,
right,
you need to notify them on your marketing.
Yeah.
And a good example, I mean, this isn't a rule, but like the thing you said about being cash only.
Yeah.
If you're a cash only haunt, why?
Yeah.
We'll start with the obvious. Why? But if you're cash only, you need to splash that everywhere.
Yeah.
You need to provide so much warning to that. And you need to provide an ATM about 2 feet away from the damned ticket booth.
Yeah.
You need to, that's your fault. You need to compensate for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But other things, like, for example, the cell phone rule.
Mm-hmm.
No cell phones allowed on premise.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you need to put that on, you know, every piece of marketing you put out so people don't try to bring their cell phones in.
Yeah, even if it's, you know, the picture of a phone with the circle and the note.
Yeah. If you have, you know, a hard age limit,
mm-hmm.
no one under 13 or 18 or whatever, put that on everything.
Right.
Those are fairly unusual rules, and they will prevent people who would show up and otherwise normally be able to go to a haunt
yeah.
from going. Because, I mean, that's just it. Obviously, you don't want to put, like, everything on your flyers because flyers aren't big enough for that.
Right.
But the more uncommon rules that you have
mm-hmm.
need to be spelled out.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, there's a certain expectation of these rules. Those basic rules, those common ones, were pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. And I do think touch haunts are rare enough still that should be on there, too.
Unless that it's a full contact haunt.
Yep.
Or a light contact haunt.
Yeah.
And Rise did that well. Because Rise actually found a way to describe the asylum.
Yeah.
In a way that indicated it was a light touch haunt.
Right.
I can't remember what they called it. A partial contact immersive experience or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was,
yeah.
It was better written than that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I just pulled that one out of my ass.
Yeah. But, we can tell.
No.
I would say that even advertise it as a positive.
Yeah.
If you're the only one in your area doing it, say, the only full contact haunt in blah, blah, blah.
In the tri-state area.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even if like you had an age limit, the only 18 plus haunt.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. You could do that. But yeah, make sure to warn about that, because the last thing you want is people to make a lengthy drive out there
mm-hmm.
and God help them actually buy a ticket.
Yeah.
Only discover they can't go.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
Because that's how you end up with that no refund rule looking kind of problematic.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, well. But that's all for this week. Anything else, Crystal, before you sign off?
Not really. Just if you are going to include trigger warnings, be sure to think about what specific triggers that you might have in your haunt.
Yeah, I do think...
So I know we kind of glossed over that. We
yeah.
mentioned that some haunts are starting to include it.
Yeah, and I do think, by the way, trigger warnings need to be more separate from phobias, because phobias and trigger warnings are very different things.
Yes.
Like, I had a fear of heights up until it was beat out of me in middle school by taking a ropes course.
Yeah.
Because it turns out I feared gym class more than I feared heights.
Mm-hmm.
But the point remains, yeah, there's very different things in terms of how they impact the person.
Yeah, yeah, you could cause...
Phobias can often be faced.
Phobias can be faced. Triggers,
It's traumatic.
It's traumatic. You can cause emotional damage.
Yes. So something to think about. Those two things should be treated separately. But yeah, on that note, everyone, thank you for spending the hour with us. We greatly appreciate your time and your company. Hope you found this useful and entertaining and educational. Probably not, but hopefully.
if we missed any.
Yeah, and if we did miss anything, please do let us know. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Haunt Weekly. We do read your comments and your messages and greatly value your input. If we get enough suggestions, maybe we'll come back to this topic. I think this is a topic that could have another episode down the road.
Yeah, well, obviously, we need to look at ours every once in a while.
Yeah, well, we went 12 years without looking at the goddamn banner. Apparently, we should be pulling it down and thinking about it again.
Yeah.
It's faded anyways.
Yeah.
But anyways, so definitely let us know what you think. Once again, hauntweekly.com. We're on Podomatic, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all the wonderful places podcasts are distributed. And tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel where you can find the entire catalog of past episodes. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly episode number 133, talking about haunt rules. We will see you guys next week.